Good morning, this is Peter Kane at Lucid. Joining me today on the telephone is CEO of training organisation Working Right, Sandy Campbell. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Good to speak to you. Sandy,
thank you.
Sandy's the CEO of Working Right, which is a training mentoring organisation that helps to get young people into full-time employment in real meaningful trades like joiner, plumber, painter and decorator, and you've had quite a lot of success in that degree, Sandy.
Yes, we have. We've been developed this method 7 years ago and rolling it out to different parts of Scotland. And last year, we achieved a 75% success rate in progressing youngsters onto apprenticeships or full-time employment.
Now, although they didn't happen here in Scotland, there's obviously you're well placed to be able to give some thoughts and some idea and insights into what happened with the English riots recently in London and other major cities across the country. You could tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on the fact that you think young people actually need less time together and more time with adults.
Well, this view is at the core of our approach. Our approach is take the youngsters away from their peer group, put them into the company of adults. Get them doing things that really matter in society, like work, contributing towards the business success. And then, lo and behold, as if by magic, the youngsters grow up. Maturity happens, and in our experience, that's what employers are looking for. They're not looking for qualifications and brushing their teeth or catching a bus, which, believe it or not, do actually exist. They're looking for maturity. And maturity is what you see in real life. So when I look at the riots in England and kind of cutting back from a lot of the stuff that has been the responses to the details of it, and if you cut it back to basics, at its core, young males attack the police and then they attack their communities. And the other thing that needs to be noticed as well, if you can see it in the telly, it's kind of obvious when you think about it, a lot of them had a whale of a time. They had the time of their lives. If you like, it was a high that they will remember for the rest of their lives, a high that no drug that night could have produced.
Now, you say that the people out rioting, the youngsters, were getting a high and enjoying it. How can we deal with that? How can we redivert that kind of energy and that kind of thinking?
Well, first thing to realise is that energy is necessary. Sometimes I think that policymakers and people who get into professional jobs never were actually teenagers. You just need to think back to your own days. It's there. The energy is there. The energy is there to engage with the world, to test your boundaries, to see to what extent you can hack it in the world. That things are happening so fast in those teenage years, and particularly amongst boys. But in general, the teenage brain is developing all through these years. They may be showing many outward signs of being adults, but they're still, the body is different, the brain is different. Things are not getting connected up, or they're in the process of getting connected up. And one thing is dead clear, and has been since the dawning of time, is that age group needs an outlet, and they need to be held by the wider community to be able to test that outlet. And sometimes they'll do daft things. Daft things will always be done by teenagers. You could even say that causing trouble is just one of the things that teenagers do. The problem is, where's the rest of society? I hear all the talk and the commentators, where were the parents? It's not where were the parents, where were the adults?
Now, the philosophy and the approach of Working Right has been praised by a number of political parties, mentioned in manifestos as well as methods and exemplars of how it should maybe be done. Do you think it's possible that we could see those kind of riots in Scotland?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I don't know. I mean, that's a huge speculative question. All I can notice is that when the poll tax riots happened, they were in England, not in Scotland. Mm. When the riots happened in the early 80s in Brixton and Toxteth, they were in England, not in Scotland. You know, maybe there's something in the Scottish psyche that doesn't do riots unless it's over something pointless like a football game. but for whatever reason, the thing is that there is something that is that I've lived in England for 25 years. I know a lot about England, and there's many things that I, many differences between England and Scotland, many things I really miss about England. And I think, at the same time, there's one thing I have noticed over the years, that there's a class division in a very in England that doesn't seem to happen to the same extent. Now, there is, of course, an us and them up here, but it's layers of us and them, ghettoisation, sort of stratification of classes. Accents are judged between different areas. You know, Midland accent will be a disadvantage, a Geordie accent will be a disadvantage, a Liverpool accent will get judged, and so on. I see that. Now, this is only a subjective opinion. I don't know whether that affects the riots or not. I think it's an almost impossible question to answer. And also, it's a tricky one to answer because they might happen up here. Who knows?
Mm. Now, one of the interesting things you've been covered in the press before, because people are interested in the philosophy behind the training that you helped to deliver through Working Right. Now, one of the interesting things is it's not really what would many people would call a kind of liberal approach. You're not standing there shouting for more youth centres or more youth clubs for youngsters. You're actually saying there should be less.
Yeah, ideally. I mean, you can't do these things in one jump because we're talking about a culture of dealing with young people, professionalism, if you like, in inverted commas, of dealing with young people that's built up over a number of decades, whereby we have, if you like, siphoned off the job of engaging with young people to people who've got the appropriate youth work training, teacher training, whatever it might be. In my opinion, that is a wider neglect from the adults of society, that we've decided that the only people who can engage with young people who have been suitably checked and suitably professionalised. And then you start to look at the youth clubs and you see that the people running the youth clubs are not much older than the kids themselves. And I'm really not convinced that more youth clubs is the answer. In fact, I'd rather see less. I think, one of the big mantras that you hear all the time, there's nothing for the kids to do. There's nowhere for the kids to go. Well, there's plenty of places for the kids to go. It's called the community. But the trouble is, the adults are afraid of them. The adults make sure that they're out of the pubs by 5 o'clock, or they're not allowed in this centre, or they're not allowed in that centre. The ghettoisation of the peer groups. Keep the youngsters away. Cross the street when they're coming towards you. Don't know their names. Don't even say hello. I mean, we reap what we sow here. If we're going to treat youngsters, and I've heard some of the interviews on the radio, it's as if we're talking about people, these young people, as if they're a different species. They are our children. Whether they're biologically my children or your children is not the point. They're the children of the wider community. And we have, as a society, neglected what I would call our duty.
Mm. And have you had any advice for Mr. Cameron or Nick Clegg? Is there something you could sum up quickly for either of those two guys?
Well, I read the full text of David Cameron's speech recently. I thought it was a very good analysis of what had gone wrong. And I by and large agree with the response that has happened in terms of justice. But the solutions, from my point of view, miss the mark, in that we're missing this core point that about getting the youngsters at a certain age away from the peer group. Now, we've got into such an entrenched way of doing it, whereby we're in England, they're raising the school leaving age to 18. Still, there's the emphasis upon trying to get youngsters more skilled up, as they would call it, more trained, into colleges, doing more courses, getting more qualifications, off to university, off to college. Now, look behind that. What does that mean? It means youngsters stay in a classroom group and are taught by a professionalised adult who doesn't live in their community, or if they do, it's only by chance. And they stay in that group, that peer group, ghetto, for year after year after year until if they go through the university route and even in the master's route and all that kind of stuff and come out with a degree that probably no employer takes seriously, they'll have spent no time being a lone youngster in the company of adults. We need to reverse the situation. It's time to leave your peer group. It's time to leave childhood behind when you're in your teenage years and get out there and mix it in the wider world and see and realise that adults are not this foreign being, that they've got all the complexities and all the troubles and all the things that can go on in life and so on, and begin to get a feel of what that adult world is like by working alongside adults of all kinds of backgrounds in the workplace, doing something that matters. So that's really where I'm coming from now. The ideas around youth activity, or particularly what bothers me is this sort of national service idea, voluntary national service. It's still groups. I'm not against that idea and principle that there should be something that youngsters do to mark a rite of passage. In fact, I wholeheartedly believe in that. Rites of passage are something that goes back to the dawning of time. Society has always recognised that there needs to be a change at a certain age. But the change needs to be one that takes them away from their age group. That point is being missed. And it's being missed because it is so difficult to untangle the systems that have developed over the last few decades, whereby we have approached this, as I said, this professionalisation of dealing with the young, where we deal with them in groups by people who are trained.
Sandy, thanks very much for that. It's a different approach. It's certainly a well thought out and insightful approach, and hopefully a lot of people will be hearing that philosophy and picking out the lessons from it.
Yeah, and I don't think it's about spending millions of taxpayers' money either. This is the point. If we are able to break the connection that anybody who deals with young people needs to be suitably trained and paid as a professional, and if we actually say, well, actually, in the words of the current UK government, big society, you know, actually take it at its word and say, well, you know, let's be straight about this. It is the responsibility, indeed the duty, of all adults in the community to pay attention and make young people their business. Then we're talking about a whole plethora of ways whereby adults can engage with young people in one way or another, whether it be on the street, whether it be in the shop, whether it be running a football or a boxing club, or whether it be a band or whatever it might be, and, as I was saying, in the workplace. There is no reason why small business cannot experience that extra pair of hands that youngsters can give to a small business at 16. Use up that energy, have that experience, work experience there, and it does not need to cost the taxpayer a fortune. In fact, we deliver it at a very reasonable financial model. But legislation, habits, professionalisation, there's a whole number of barriers in the way of it, which, if removed, could release a huge swathe of normal, straightforward, ordinary adults who do not know all the professional jargon and all the gobbledygook, but do know how to help a youngster grow up.
Sandy, for all those young people and their parents who would like to know more about Working Right and how they help people, young people, into mentored situations and proper jobs and proper trades, can you tell us the website address that they can go and find out more about it?
Well, you Google Working Right, but you'll need to spell the right correctly, R-I-T-E, as in the spelling of rite of passage. So it's a deliberate choice of giving somebody a working rite of passage into adulthood. So Working Right, all one word, .co.uk.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Sandy, and thanks for joining us today.
Nice to see you, Peter. Okay, bye for now.
Bye.